Chris and Sam podcast. Pull up a bar stool and join us for a random conversation, guaranteed to make you think or your money back.
Hello and welcome to episode 478 of the Chris and Sam podcast.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Sam. Welcome along to your weekly fix of randomness, technology, and life. And I just found a piece of plastic that I never knew existed on my microphone that I peeled off.
Oh, you may sound better than ever.
I don't know. It was just a decorative, protective piece. I'm not sure. That is a thrilling intro to a podcast. And don't worry, we've got more of them. We've got over 400. You don't know what we're going to say when we start. Neither do we. What have you been up to this week, Chris?
So I've been binging a little bit of visual stuff, to be fair. So I started watching The White Lotus.
I love how you said visual stuff. That's such an old person thing, I think. Carry on. So White Lotus. What's that about? I haven't seen it.
It's quirky, what I'm going to say.
Okay. I've heard it's really good. It won awards and stuff, didn't it?
Yeah, and I've only watched three or four episodes anyway, which is good. It's interesting enough. It's not like, oh my god, I must watch.
Yeah.
I actually found it was quite good to watch going to bed. So I had my laptop set up, turn the light off, watch that, go to sleep. It was pretty cool. So I am quite liking watching that, but I started playing something that's a must watch, and so I've sort of shelved the White Lotus, and that's Fallout. Fallout is just blowing my mind. It's fantastic.
I have seen the first episode. I watched that last night, so I knew I had an idea of what it was about. I mean, I know what the game is about, and
so you've played the game.
Not intensely. I didn't get into it as much as other people. Like, I thought it was a cool concept. I liked the look of it, but I probably put in maybe an hour.
Okay. Like, you didn't play the game. Yeah, I've played the game, although, to be fair, similar to you, I haven't got into it as much as other people.
Mm.
Later on in the game, you actually have to choose between the Brotherhood of Steel.
Yeah.
And somebody else, and I can't remember what they're called now, and they are effectively warring in those mech things.
Suits, yeah.
Mech suits. So that sort of speaks much more to the film. So if anybody has played the game, they know what I'm talking about. They know more than I do about it. And I randomly started playing it again not so long ago before I heard that there was a film, a TV series out. So that's
what I wonder how many people are now picking up that game from just hearing about the show, maybe. I'm not sure.
I'm sure there'll be people. I'm sure there'll be people. Although Bethesda is pretty well known. Fallout 4 is well known, and it, like Skyrim. And they're both fantastic games. I really do like them. So anyway, it starts off at the first couple of episodes is sort of following three storylines. It's fascinating. I love the way they put it together. And I had in my head, this is not a spoiler for you, but I had in my head it would take ages for them to come together, storylines to intersect. They pretty much intersect, I think, in the next episode.
It seems like they get there really quick. This is an Amazon Prime production, I think.
Yeah.
And, I don't know who's working there, but they do some cool stuff as well. Like, between them and Apple, they're, like, throwing some money at some shows.
Yeah. So, and you heard it's been greenlit for a second season.
Yep. Netflix probably wouldn't have done that straight away. They would have waited and probably...
Yeah,
end it because some weird metric. I saw two things this week. One of them, I went to the movies. I saw the movie The Mountain, which is a Kiwi film. Yeah, it's a Kiwi film brought to you by the same people that did Hunt for the Water People and Jojo Rabbit. A girl that's got cancer wants to climb her mountain. And they go on a little adventure. And there's some good little scenes. It's missing something, but I can't tell you what that is. On the whole, it's pretty cool. I think it's very simplistic, maybe, and the adult characters don't have much depth because we don't see them very much, which is fine. It's okay. So I saw that. It's when we went, there was a whole bunch of people that took a bunch of little kids, and it's not a little kid's film. It's just there's nothing else on at these school holidays. Anyway, there's that. And then have you heard of Baby Reindeer?
No, not at all.
Okay, it's the number one rated series, I think, on Netflix this week, maybe. And it's 7 episodes, I think. It's UK-based, and it's based on a true-life story of a guy who works at a bar, and he wants to be a stand-up comedian. A woman comes in, he offers her a cup of tea, and then she stalks him. Okay? And then the guy...
I don't know how you get to Baby Reindeer from there. Like, sometimes the names just do my head in. Anyway, sorry.
Exactly. And she's batshit crazy. She's Scottish, and so's he, actually. But he's
it's
got
sounding
more...
way better than Baby Reindeer. Just saying.
It's Baby Reindeer is just a random name that means nothing. Don't worry. It's just a thing. But the interest... So there's a couple of things. In the show and in real life, the guy gets sexually abused. So that's a bit of a dark topic. And not by her. And so that's all good. But what happened in real life was this guy then made a stage show, one-man show, then made it into a bigger show, and then got this Netflix deal to make the show. The main character in the Netflix show is the actual guy. So yeah, he's playing the character and is the guy and would have to relive everything that happened to him through the show, which is just a bit weird, but maybe it's a mechanism to deal with it. I'm not sure. Pretty good.
Okay, all right. Baby Reindeer. Well, I won't forget that name now.
If you don't want to watch it, but here's an interesting fact for you. When he started his show in 2019, his stalker basically dropped off the face of the earth. He's never, ever mentioned what her name is. Her name isn't what's in the show. And he doesn't want anybody to sort of know who she was because he really felt for her and her mental health problems that she was going through. But she, I don't know how she's going to react when she sees a Netflix show. Like, it could spark it back up. I don't know.
Yeah, hopefully she's got over him now.
It sounds like she probably found somebody else to stalk. Maybe.
Oh, God, yeah. Okay, yeah, that tracks. Hey, talking about dark, I didn't know about this, and I put it on here because I'm sure you know about this, and I'm sure most of our New Zealand listeners know about this, but I don't think people outside of New Zealand will know about it if I haven't, and that's the Rogue Ram thing.
I was almost going to bring this up last podcast episode because it had just happened.
Yeah, and it was only – I was at D&D the other day, Dungeons & Dragons playing, and somebody made some comment about Ram, and I thought they were talking about a Ram raid, and I was like – and it I couldn't understand what was going on. I had to have it explained to me. And I'm like, hang on, what's the joke again? And they're like, it's not a joke. It actually happened, and I'm Googling it. So,
yeah.
Do you want to tell the story? Because you probably know it better than I do now.
Basically, these elderly couple have farmers. Well, they sort of wanted a lifestyle block, so they ended up doing that. And I think the woman went out. No, the guy went out first and went to feed the ram or do something and didn't come back. Then she went out, didn't come back. And then I think it was their son. Now, he went and found them, and they were dead. This ram had killed them. And they said the injuries looked like they'd been in a severe car accident. The son, I think they removed his photo. There's a photo of the son, and he looks like a complete, I'm sure he's a nice guy, complete serial killer. The photo is the worst photo in the world of this guy who just happened to come across this accident. Yeah, it's real sad. And I read online, somebody said, look, the problem is when you get an animal like that and they get used to humans, they do not fear humans. And rams are apparently really bad at doing this, at attacking people and stuff. They started attacking the police when they turned up. The police shot it. Oh, what a way to go, though. Far out. It's terrible.
Yeah, no. It's certainly tragic. It's just, it's it does have the makings of a joke. The guy goes out, gets hit by the ram, and you can only hope that it was a fairly quick thing. Like, I can imagine him bending over, doing some picking something up or whatever, and boom, end of story, but probably not. And then, the old lady comes out wondering where she's got to after a while, and gets the same.
This is sort of reminiscent of Black Sheep, the movie, a little bit.
That's the first thing that jumped in my mind, too. It's sad. Not that I remember Black Sheep very well, because I saw it at the movies. It was a long time ago.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's okay. Talking about animals, here's a top tip. My sister sent me a couple of things this week. This is one of them. When you're looking after ostriches in a zoo in the US, you really shouldn't have your keys on the ground where they could swallow them. At Topeka Zoo in Kansas, it swallowed the staff member's keys. This ostrich had only been there for about a year. It used to dance around. People quite liked it. And they consulted with experts around the states. What could they do? And basically, they couldn't do anything. So they euthanized this bloody ostrich because it swallowed keys. Like, it said it reached out of its pen or through the wire or whatever and grabbed these keys. Now, I'm no expert, Chris, but I'm going to put my two cents in on this story.
Yeah.
Like prison officers, zookeepers should have their keys on their body at all freaking times. Like they normally do. Like when you see them, they normally have a bunch of keys attached to them. You don't put a bunch of keys down somewhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, that happened. Talking about, not really an animal, but.
I've got either an animal thing.
Oh.
Or something about the swallowing keys. Either way, okay, I've got good. A story to go to.
Of course you do. Excellent. This is what we're all about.
So the animal thing here. So Botswana got annoyed because Germany's environment minister raised the possibilities of stricter limits on the importing of hunting trophies because they're worried about poaching concerns. So I sort of know where they're getting to, but the Botswana's got really upset, and the African leader basically said that conservation efforts have led to an explosion in the number of elephants and that hunting is an important means to keep them in check.
Oh, okay. And
basically, he said, fine, you don't want the trophies? Let me send you 20,000 elephants to Germany. You can sort it out there.
I really want to see that, eh? Because I can't get my head around that many.
No, neither can I. And I struggle to believe that because they gestate for 15 to 20 months, something like that.
Yeah, some silly amount of time, yeah.
Yeah, and they only have one, and I don't know how many times an elephant cow can give birth. Like, it's only a couple of times in their lifetime, and they live quite a long time. So I can't imagine they're not rabbits, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get you.
So I'm struggling with that, but it has already offered. Botswana has already offered. It's got the world's largest elephant population. Botswana has, and it's already offered 8,000 elephants to Angola and another 500 to Mozambique.
Whoa, It's just so many to. Yeah,
that is a lot, eh? And you just assume there's not that many of them. Yeah.
Okay, here's something that'll warm you up on a cold, cold night.
I put my winter quilt on last night for the first time.
That's exciting, and I will sleep better knowing that now. There's a thing you can buy called the Therminator.
That sounds familiar. What is that?
It's made by an Ohio-based firm called Throwflame, and they've got one of those robot dogs, and they've put a flamethrower on it.
Okay, that's not what I was thinking.
For $9,420, you can get this thing that can shoot 9-meter jets of flame. It has a laser sight, flashlight, and light-sensitive mapping capabilities for in the dark. They don't advertise it as a weapon, of course. You could use it for wildlife control, snow and ice removal, and generally entertainment. It'll last for about an hour. And, you can just have this thing roaming around, setting everything on fire. It's a Arsenis
it's a great
sweatshirt.
Idea. It's a great idea. So actually, this reminds me, I hadn't written it down, but you've seen the two big new innovations with Boston Dynamics. They've come up with two versions. So they've retired Atlas.
I know they retired Atlas, and they've got the other one.
And they got a new dog feature.
Oh, no. What's that?
So the dog feature, it's the same, except every foot has wheels on it.
Oh. Well,
so
how's that work?
It can control the wheels going forward and backwards, so it can scoot forward and scoot backwards.
Can it still walk?
But, yeah, it still walks. So it freezes the wheels to go upstairs and then rolls.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense. There's a simple way.
It's actually, yeah, it's like, oh, that's obvious. It's so cool. It is quite obvious. Now, it wouldn't work. I mean, still be times where you want the old one with the standard legs. Like, I think rescue over rubble in an earthquake type thing would still be the legs thing, not the wheels thing. But in a much more urban environment, that wheels thing makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, I hadn't seen that. The other one, the Atlas replacement, had been reported on quite a bit. And I can't remember who it was. I think it was Marcus Brownlee who said, could they have picked a creepier image to unveil the new one than the way it stands up and rotates? Because you've seen that, eh?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, my God. You have to
get that video. Hang on, I'm looking at it now. Oh, I see. It's on the ground. Looks like it's dead.
Yeah, and then watch that.
Oh, no. What? Oh, no. Hey, oh, no. Its legs go backwards, like under its armpit, sort of, and then it sort of rotates and then just stands up again. Holy crap.
So it's got 360 rotational head and body, and it's
even
the freakiest looking, creepy looking video. Like Marcus is like, could they have found a creepier video? I don't think so. Like, this isn't helping.
Even its head is creepy. It's a complete flat circle with a ring light all the way around it, and inside it is a bunch of cameras and stuff.
Yeah, although I think he's right, because he goes, at least they didn't try and put a human face on there, because that would have been worse.
Oh, okay.
So we'll link that video, and we'll try and find the video of the wheeled Boston Dynamics dog, link that in too. There was a 5-minute video or something that I watched, well, not 5 minutes, a couple of minutes or whatever, showing it going over different terrain and bits and pieces and how this wheel thing worked, which it was interesting. But anyway, cool.
That robot is very small, like thin.
Yeah, compared to the Atlas, which always looked way overweight in the body, right?
Well, no, yes. The reason I heard that they got rid of the Atlas and that was causing problems is that was hydraulic, and that's why it was so big.
Right.
Everything else now is electric or servo motors or whatever. But the Atlas was hydraulic, because apparently there's outtakes of it doing the flips and stuff, and its hoses were bursting and it was spraying oil everywhere.
Actually, I think I saw one of those back in the day too, yeah. I said before I had something about swallowing the key, and this is just made me giggle a little bit.
Okay.
And maybe, you know, more facepalm about lawmakers in the US, because lawmakers in the US are, how do you put this?
They're the best.
Okay, so this is an Idaho lawmaker. So I assume it's someone in the Idaho Congress in Boise.
Okay.
So he's a Republican state representative, which tracks. These guys, if you don't know, are the ones that are hot on legislating away abortion and stuff like that. But there was a Dr. Julie Madison, a physician, was testifying in opposition to some bill about abortion stuff. And she said some colonoscopy, for whatever reason, she said some colonoscopy patients may swallow a small device to give doctors a closer look at parts of their colon. One such device is known as the pill cam. I think we have talked about this.
Yeah.
And it's been successfully used after research studies, including one at Stanford University in 2008. So it's been around a while. And then this genius lawmaker goes, well, can the same procedure be done in a pregnancy? Swallowing the camera and helping the doctor determine what the situation is. You know, then we can see the life of the fetus at 2 seconds old or whatever. And Madsen had to explain to him that that's not possible because swallowed pins do not end up in the vagina. And there was a bit of laughter from the crowd.
It sums up a lot. It sums it up quite well of how little people actually know. But they're making decisions for other people, so that's good.
The thing. If they didn't know, that's fine. But they don't know and they're making the rules. It's like, no, shut up. Find your lane and stay in it. And your lane is like a very slow lane.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was all.
I have Kickstart or Dropkick for you this week.
Ooh.
I saw this, I don't know where I saw it, but I somehow made my way to the Kickstarter. Oh, actually, how much does this thing cost? I have no idea. So, it's called Paint Cam Eve. It's redefining smart security. It's a security camera, like a little or normal-sized one that can rotate and pivot, so it does pan and tilt, and it also can fire paintball pellets.
Ooh.
Yes. So I couldn't see how many paintballs it can hold, but if I was to guess, maybe 5 to 10, I can't imagine it holding many. It uses this little CO2 NOS canisters to power it. Yeah, it's to basically target or, you know, tag people that are doing something suspicious so they can be found later. You can get normal paintballs or you can get UV paintballs. Or you can just scare people away by shooting them in the face with this thing, I guess. Yeah, there's one video where the guy looks like he's getting hurt, but I don't know. It's a bit random.
Yeah, I don't think you'd get... It wouldn't be as bad as some of those paintball guns, because they've
They're super... Hang on. The super early bird price is just under 1,200 euro.
I honestly think it's probably worth it for some people. Like,
I don't know if it's worth it at this price, but I think this could be the start of a subset of cameras where they've all got something like this. Now,
what's the first thing that came to your mind as a use case? What was the first place you think, oh, I could use that there?
Oh, I don't know, really.
First one that came to my mind was a junkyard. I don't know why.
Oh, okay. There is an image here somewhere. Like a graphic they've made, and it says paintball, and then the next bullet point says tear gas, and it's not mentioned anywhere else. I can't see them talking about tear gas.
It's a common thing in the States is to have pepper balls. The paintball shells with the pepper, instead of the dye's got the pepper in it.
Oh, right. Yeah, that makes sense.
So that'll be what it is, because effectively it has the same effect as tear gas if you hit them in the face or anywhere up in the upper body.
Yeah. So anyway, I think it's quite pricey, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. We'll see. Let us know if you think this is something that you would use. If it was,
jump on our Facebook and tell us the use case where you think it should be used. Because I'm fascinated by that. Because you wouldn't want it to accidentally go off in a place where customers turn up. So the standard places, but the backyard of a dairy or a bottle store or something like that makes sense, the delivery area, as it were. I don't know. Anyway, fascinating.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting little thing there.
Hey, so I thought this was interesting. This is an Australian thing. Hospital staff have been pleading with bite victims to stop bringing snakes into the emergency departments. So and this is what I think I was told when I was young, or at least
they want to identify it
through TV, is if you get bit by a snake, grab it, put in a bag or a box or whatever you got, and bring it along so we can identify it so we know what to give you, right?
That makes sense.
But basically, in short, health officials are warning people not to attempt to catch snakes after they've been bitten. And the caution comes after snake bite victims have brought the reptiles with them into the emergency department. Doctors saying calling for help, administering first aid, and remaining calm is all you need to do. Well, don't waste your time trying to find them, and please don't bring them to the emergency room. And then it does have a piece here where it says snake identity not needed for treatment. Snake bites in Australia are considered rare. And one guy did die in March from a being bitten multiple times by a what they suspect was a eastern brown snake. Mm. There are about 3,000 suspected snake bites across Australia each year, but only 100 to 200 cases, which is a lot, but out of 3,000 is not as much, you know, require antivenom. Yeah. So, and I think they can tell what antivenom they need just by looking at the type of wound that is.
Oh, right. That makes sense. Yeah.
So, yeah. But that's good to know. And I'm just glad we don't have snakes here, you know. It's just one less thing to worry about.
It is one less thing to worry about.
I told you about that when I went to the film festival and I thought, because I was staying in an Airbnb in Noosa.
Yeah.
And I'm walking. It's a little bit out of town, but it was a nice day. So I thought I'll walk in to the film festival and I'm just wearing jandals and shorts and t-shirt.
Yeah,
and I'm walking through the grass and then I went, oh, crap, they have snakes here, don't they? This is not a good idea.
It's frowned upon.
It's dumb. The first thing that goes through your head is, I don't want to be that New Zealander that died because he's a dumbass. That's what I didn't want to be.
That's a top life tip there. Always be that person. Don't.
Oh no, I often think of things in terms of Darwin Awards. I don't want to be that guy. I've laughed at so many of those guys. I don't want to be that guy. And I've so close to being that guy so many times. I wanted to talk quickly about the Cybertruck. Have you kept up with its latest issues?
I saw one where it died in a car wash.
Yeah, so I've got that story here. Basically, the perils of turning cars into computers were laid bare by a hapless Cybertruck owner who claims his ride was rendered into an $80,000 paperweight by something as benign as a wash. Water and computers don't mix. Who? Go figure. But yeah, so apparently he put it in the car wash and it bricked. But that is the most recent thing, and that's a one-off.
Okay.
But have you heard about the recall? So they've recalled all 4,800 or whatever it is of the Cybertrucks that are out there because an investigation has shown a non-approved soap has been used in the production where they've got a contoured accelerator plate on top of the accelerator.
Good. I saw that.
Yeah, and if you press it, so what happens is they used a bit of soap to lubricate it, to slip it on or something. So
is that what happened?
It's on like a sleeve, yeah. Mm. And so what happened is that instead of the glue hasn't held because of the soap has eaten it away. Is my interpretation of what's happened. And then if you press it all the way down, it's become, for a couple of people, it's become slippery and it slid up. But there's a lip at the top.
I saw that. It's a silly design, yeah.
It's a silly design. And so the accelerator gets stuck in a 100% down position. Now, if you hit the brake, because of it's an electric thing, it's not mechanics, it's not the engine fighting the clutch and the motor. It's if you hit the brake, it just overrides it, and that's fine. But as soon as you take your foot off the brake, it's 100%
like go time.
So
go time.
It's not what they call what's the word? Safe.
It's a little bit experimental, I think.
It is. And so the point though was that at this point, sales of the Cybertruck are under 5,000 units. Like I said, 4,800, whatever it was.
Hmm.
It was forecast to be 45,000 at this point. So
yeah, it'll
the
be
Cybertruck is a bomb, basically.
It's also first generation as well. Yeah. So, We'll see what happens.
I don't think it'll keep going. I think they're gonna kill it.
Well, they made some dumb decisions, so.
Yeah, and it's the first thing that is totally Elon's thing.
Oh, okay, yes. Okay, then.
Tesla was already there before he got it. Cybertruck was his thing, his big idea. And it's not looking good. It's not quite as bulletproof as you'd hope. All those things.
Okay, well, that brings us to the end of this week's podcast. Make sure to go leave us a review. The two from 8 years ago are still there. And maybe we can get a couple more. That'd be cool.
I really would appreciate it.
I also think that Facebook, if you use Facebook on the phone, they've got these AIs built into all the Facebook now. But when you write a post, it's like, hey, do you want me to explain a recipe? It's like, it seems like a needy person that needs a job to do, because it's always like, hey, do you want me to write this post for you? Hey. And it's like, no, just I don't touch it, just go away. So there'll be all these AI posts soon coming out from people that are just typing in random stuff. I also think that groups or Facebook pages, they're not showing it to anybody, eh? There's almost no engagement on anything now.
Yeah, I was watching something the other day, and it's more high level for people with a they have a business, they have a big group, and there's these people with like 50,000 in their group or something like that. And if they do a post, only 6,000 of that group will get it.
Yeah, that's mental.
And it's just, yeah. I think that was one of the selling points of school, actually. So
until next time, I'm Sam.
I'm Chris.
See ya.
Bye.
Hope you enjoy the show. Make sure to subscribe and catch you next week. Don't forget to tell your friends.